Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and joining me today, I've got... I sound like some late-time midnight show.
Call me. Hey, baby.
It's Adult
Delilah. Wow. Okay, here we go. Let me try that again. Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and joining me today, I have Steve, Sharpie, Lauren, and Chris. Welcome, everyone.
That's just creeping me out. Mm.
This is what I've got to deal with right
hey,
now.
Baby.
Do you think we could put some very white men in the background?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
I didn't even know a very white song. Why do we make fun of Barry White? I cannot honestly tell you one very white song.
I didn't mean to laugh, but you're like,
well, we're not going to get any better. The intro won't get
it's
any
like
better.
It's like a good airplane landing, Lisa. Low and slow.
Fasten your seatbelts. Return your seats to the upright position. Okay. So, on this week's show... we're going to be talking about park hopper options on your tickets and also water park options on your tickets. So before we get started, yes, I'm a little under the weather. I've been doing a lot of coughing. It's just been cold. So,
cigars, isn't it?
Cigars and whiskey. It's just yep. Hitting me. So I hurt less when I talk slower and lower. So I'm very sorry. I'm not trying to, you know, turn this into a show that it's not. Mickey Mouse. Nightclub Mouse.
So,
but what we're going to start with, we've got some news stories to go over. Let's see who's going to go first. Oh, great, me. All right, so... my story for tonight is over at the Magic Kingdom. We at Tom Sawyer Island, and a lot of people don't even know about Tom Sawyer Island at all, but they have Aunt Polly's, which is a little food and beverage little place, and it's usually closed, and it will be open. They're going to have limited selections. Some light sandwiches, snacky type things, fruit, chips. They'll have bottled beverages, no fountain sodas or anything like that, because they're not, everything that they're going to have is going to be brought in. So, yeah, they're going to have that, and it's going to be lovely. It's going to be kind of a good addition, because it seems that any of those little booths or little wagons for beverages or snacks, those lines are seriously longer than the lines you have if you're going to get a meal.
They really are.
And mm-hmm. So this is essentially another little snack booth, and not like it's going to put a dent in the food traffic, but hopefully that'll help. And it's nice because when you're on the island, you know, you have to wait for the boat to go back, the little raft. So it'll be nice.
It should be cool. I didn't even know there was an Aunt Polly's before.
I didn't either.
Haven't you seen it? You can see it from like the side where the riverboat is parked. Uh-huh. You can see it over there. It's cute.
And they always have tables there.
Yep.
Well, I always see the little place like at Disneyland where they have Fantasmic, the little hut looking thing.
It's not. Yeah. It's kind of like a yellowish building.
Huh.
Kind of cream yellow.
Yeah. If they put like the ability to get like, you know, a frosty beverage over there, that would make it worthwhile to take that boat trip.
My kids love it over there. I love to go over there.
I think they should open a speakeasy on Tom Sawyer Island.
It would be authentic, wouldn't it?
I like that idea. So I'd be like, bye guys, I'll be on Tom Sawyer Island. Come get me on your way out.
Wait, where's Lauren? Oh yeah, Tom Sawyer Island.
And you could hear the music and see the lights and smell the booze.
See, I think see, I just created a great opportunity for profit for Disney.
Mm-hmm. No, but sadly, it won't be around. permanently. It's just to get through like the spring break dates.
But now they haven't opened that before during spring break, have they? I don't remember.
It used
that.
To be open like seasonally, like during the summer. In the busier times, it was always open. And then, like, the last couple, 3 years, they just didn't open it at all. So, but it was never open just specifically for that. It used to be open, like, during the summer. So.
Interesting.
Yes.
Because I'd read somewhere that the reason why they closed it originally was because of they could not network the cash registers over there.
Wow. That's really sad.
I know, but I mean, who knows? That may or may not be true. But I mean, with the new technology they have that's completely wireless, it makes it a whole lot easier to do pop-up food and beverage stands.
Yeah, they have a lot of.
Who knows?
I mean, they could even run it on an iPad because I guess before when it was cash only before the Magic Bands, and they could have refused a room charge and that'd be fine. But now with the Magic Bands and gift cards and room credits and snack credit, not room credits, you know, the food credits, I can see where that would have put a hamper on things. But if they have since figured out a way to get that communication over to the island, you know, remote, wirelessly, it's quite possible that was the hiccup. Okay.
Is that the love line?
Very funny.
Come on, that was fun.
We've got broken-hearted Jim on line one.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Jim.
<You're listening.
laughs> Is that what they call it on that one show? It's the love line.
I'm sorry, that was my phone.
Oh. Well, then it was the love line.
Oh, geez. We thought it was in the studio with Steve and Lisa. Gosh.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Let's
time.
Blame Steve and Lisa.
Yes, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, let's go with that.
I'm all for that.
Okay, so Lauren, you're up next with some real chicken.
Okay, that was bad.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yes. So over in Epcot, we have another little snack stand that's opened up probably just for spring break also. I'm hoping it's extended out to when I go there in a couple weeks because this is right up my alley. It's the Epcot's Taste Track, which is over by the Test Track, kind of near the Cool Wash area, that little stand over there.
Yeah.
And they have gourmet grilled cheese sandwiches and soup. And let me just tell you something. They look amazing. They have, and we all know I'm really bad with this saying of certain things. So that it's Gruyere. Is that right?
Gruyere.
Did I say that? Gruyere. And applewood smoked bacon grilled cheese on sourdough bread. Fontina and tomato basil with... on sourdough bread with a balsamic glaze, Canadian cheddar and apples with apple butter or cinnamon raisin bread.
Wow.
And then they have tomato bisque soup, and then they have grilled cheese, regular traditional grilled cheese for the kids. When looking at the pictures, Disney Food Blog posted pictures. The sandwiches look so good. Like, it may be my first stop in April.
Where is this at again?
It's by Test Track.
Oh, okay.
Over,
that little area.
By the Cool Wash area. Yeah.
Huh.
And it's like a little truck. It looks like a little car on the side.
Oh, it's like a little food truck? Because. Huh.
It's not a truck, but it looks like one of those little food stands, you know? But they have.
Huh.
It looks so, so, so good. I'm really hoping this one sticks. That would be a great, like, mid-afternoon, like, lunch type thing, a quick lunch. I think that's a great option.
I'm a huge sucker for soup and grilled cheese.
Me too.
Me too. Oh, yeah, like
especially like the apples, and I love that. Like, oh my god, the Canadian cheddar and apples with the apple butter is like, but they're expensive. You know, they're like $9 for a grilled cheese sandwich, but they look good.
Well, they're gonna sell.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what though? There's so much good food over in Epcot. That it would be kind of hard to sort of go, I'm going to have a grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah, but not on the Future World side.
Yeah, not on the Future World side.
Unless you go to Sunshine Seasons, there's really no good food over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Electric Umbrella, eh.
No, that's terrible. My Nothing kids love it. Nothing exciting
there. I haven't been there in a while.
Oh, God, count yourself lucky.
They used to have a really good, like, barbecue something or other burger that was good, but I don't think they have it on the menu anymore. I'm not sure. We haven't been there in quite a while.
Yeah, but if you're in Epcot over the next, like, week or two, I would definitely stop over there. It looks very, very good. I don't think it's going to be something that's going to stick. I think it's going to be something that you're just going to see during the busy season.
I'll go check it out.
Yeah, could you mail me one?
Yes, you know, those travel so well.
Yes, I want the one with the apple butter.
Okay, I'll check it out at least.
Looks good.
Okay, we're going to go to Steve now and Trader Sam's.
Yeah, so we've been hinting at Trader Sam's opening, and it has actually opened for soft opening just a couple days ago. If you follow any Disney shows or people online, you've probably seen a slew of drinks from there in the last couple of days. So, and the line was horrendous to get in for the first night. But they have some type of pearl drink where it comes out of some clamshell, and it comes in some white giant circular pearl, and every 100th one is a black pearl. So if you get lucky, you could get a black pearl for your drink when you go there. And then they also have a Nautilus drink shaped like the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea Nautilus. And I think it's a group drink from...
Yay.
I know.
A
and
group
it's,
drink.
Well, it's, you know, with the, I think it's one... I was talking to Chris, and she said she thinks it's one where they put a bunch of straws in it from the photos I saw. It's $55 for the Nautilus drink.
I would
drink.
Not spend that money. And...
So that one's, enough I think, said. A little, yeah, I think
for
that's a
group
little
drink.
I think that's
maybe we but could you know those, get one and split it.
A lot of those tiki drinks, you get a lot of the whole idea behind those drinks is you get like a big bowl and then everybody gets a super long straw and then all of you get to experience each other's germs.
Well, I don't think they probably die in the alcohol, so the germs.
It's
probably,
always good to share.
Oh, yeah, that's a really
not
good point.
With
they
me
might
right
die.
Now.
What's so, that?
Sharing with me right now is not a good
yeah.
idea.
Yeah, I don't think I'd share with Lisa right now.
But I purposely although, didn't watch the videos because I was afraid I would see some of the cool things, so I haven't.
Oh, gosh.
I don't want, yeah, I want to experience it. I want to see what's going on.
Ugh. You're never going to get to go. When you go down there, you never have any time, so you should just watch the video.
I don't know. I want to be surprised.
Yeah, I'm not watching the video.
When are we going back there again? We're not going back for a while.
I'm going to
do
like
Trader Sam's.
Days.
I mean,
I'm going in a couple weeks, but I mean, as a group, we're not going to be there for like till October.
October.
We should go there. Okay. Like after dinner that one night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But it looks neat. It looks cute, cozy, and they have a huge patio area outside. So I want to go.
So this is actually exciting. Disney is testing a fourth Fast Pass. And so people who've been doing their Fast Passes for the next week or two have been finding that they're getting a fourth one or they can select a fourth one. And one person even reported they had done three at Magic Kingdom and they were able to select a fourth at Animal Kingdom. So this is all like kind of not really set in stone right now. So
unofficial.
We really don't want to say – go ahead.
I was going to say it's unofficial.
Yeah, it's unofficial. And so – we don't want to say anything for certain. We're just saying it's going on. If you're going in the next couple of months, make sure you check and see if you're being afforded that opportunity. And if y'all remember when we had Len Test on, he said the ultimate goal was 12 experiences a day. So it sounds like we're getting one step closer to that.
Yeah, I'm excited. I hope we are getting closer to that because I think it's going to make life a lot easier for all of us.
I think so. I think it sounds horrible on the one hand, and I think it's nice for planners. I think for people like me, even if I do plan it out that way, it's going to just drive me crazy.
I'm kind of with you on that one.
Yeah.
I think that the whole schedule thing is just – it has zapped the magic a little bit.
I wouldn't say it has zapped the magic, but I'd really like a lot of spontaneity on my vacation. My kids are on a schedule day in and day out. I'm pretty much on a schedule. When I'm on vacation, I just like to take it easy.
Yeah. And that's like stressing out about making like a reservation time.
Somebody, a very nice family who's going in October, asked me today, can we add deluxe dining? And I said, you've got three little kids. No, because you're going to be way too scheduled. And this is the same thing as that.
Yeah. On one hand, I'm excited that there's at least one more fast pass, but my whole thing with fast pass, because we've talked about it a lot, is, you know, when we all go as a group, it's hard enough for us to go down and manage to get one fast pass together and get it all linked up.
And the insanity at midnight at 12:01 and everybody's on. Come on. Seriously? I don't want to do anything at 12:01 except sleep.
It's like
I still think Disney's going to end up charging for fast passes.
I do too. I think you're going to see it slated between deluxe, moderate, and value. I still think that's the way it's going to go.
That's horrible if that happens.
Calling it.
Thank you, Nostradamus.
Well, they can only do so many of them, right?
I called you going to Disney again before May.
That was so obvious. I told you that was this is a mercy trip. Steve had points he had to lose. I had to take them off his hands. I couldn't bear to see him cry.
You can say it's for Steve, but come on. We all know.
I don't know. Yes. I think the problem, Chris, with fast passes, I don't know how many more you can go because you have to fast pass every single, you have to put them on every single ride.
It's hard.
If you had like a dozen of them, how you could just go from one thing to the other.
Yeah, but the lines are already out of room for, you know, the capacity seems like it's already met for the system. So the fast pass isn't going to be a fast pass anymore. It's going to be a 3-hour line.
If you think about it, they're not going to do 12 for one park. It's going to be 12 throughout the day. And if you're park hopping, you can do 6 in this park and 6 in that park. Because some of the parks don't even have 12 fast passes.
Yeah. Oh, good point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know?
We'll see where it goes.
That would encourage hopping. Just like,
but that's also going to get rid of like your ability to fast pass like wishes and illuminations and things like that, because it's going to be very limited. If you have being able to do it, you know?
That's why I think they're going to make a change that limits who can get
I mean, that's why they don't do it at Universal. The new hotels are opening and they're like, we're not going to give you
deluxe.
The front of the line. We're only doing it for deluxe. If you're staying at one of these resorts, you have to buy it because we don't want our our fast pass type system.
And can I tell you?
Huge lines.
So many more people would stay on Disney property that stay off Disney property to get that fast pass for free.
That's true.
I still think Disney dropped the ball with that and they should have just made it for Disney resort guests.
Do you know why they didn't do it? Because Walt wouldn't have liked it.
But Walt wouldn't have liked anything they've done.
I'm actually teasing. I don't know what. I think that Walt was a capitalist. He probably would have been fine with it.
I think if they kept it at 3 for the offsite and perhaps increased it for on-site, that would be enough incentive for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a really good point.
That's a good idea.
It could happen. They're still tweaking it, and they're testing the 4th. So
yeah, they've got a...
I think it's going to be years before we see Endgame on this, though.
Oh, yeah. They're going to keep... They will get every penny they can out of it.
They're going to have scratch-off cards where, ooh, you can get 1, 2, or 3 bonus fast passes.
Well, I mean, if their
book
hotel
your Disney
occupancy
vacation today and get free fast pass.
Yeah, it could be.
It's going to be a commodity.
It could be because they can use it to market with. If their hotel occupancy goes down, if something happens and they have a bad year or whatever, they'll look at what can we do with fast pass, because we're doing early entry or late nights for on-site guests. What else can we offer?
I really
to
think
them?
It should be an on-site guest thing, and off-site guests can pay for it.
I
don't see anything
wrong
with that.
Well, and it certainly works for Universal.
Right. But now Universal only has 3 hotels, but now Disney has 4 parks. They have more places to spread it out.
Sure. But, you know, Universal's got 4 hotels, the 5th one on the way. And I do like the way that even within their resorts, they're limiting the Express Pass to the deluxe resorts. So it's even a privilege within those who stay on Universal property.
And a lot of people will pay for the you know, the upgraded room to get the express pass, especially during busy times.
Yeah.
I do.
I think like your deluxe resorts with 12 fast passes, that makes sense. Leaving your value resorts with 3 or 4, that's probably what they'll do.
I don't like the sound of that.
If they did 12, 9, and 6.
Right.
You know, that could be reasonable.
I don't know, but put yourself at a value resort and all of a sudden you're given 6 instead of 12.
And you can pay for the upgrade to the other ones. That would be an option.
Yeah.
It's just like buying certain concert seats or whatever, or certain...
You get what you pay for.
If you want to be up front or in the nosebleeds. Perks. It's the same thing. It sounds awful, but that's...
It's life.
It's kind of the way it is. If you want to be right next to the stage, you're paying top dollar, or you want to be up in the nosebleeds.
I personally would love to see Disney do something like limiting it to on-site guests for free. I think they're crazy not to utilize that, because that is such a selling feature for Universal. They're crazy not to do it.
And I've always thought that club level guests should get Memory Maker for free, just as kind of like an added benefit, because club level is like that next step up. But yeah.
Well, and it doesn't really cost Disney anything.
Exactly. Especially now that they don't mail your CD.
Yeah.
It costs them nothing.
Yeah.
It costs them their web development and their web maintenance. But other than that, there's no collateral cost for each individual guest.
Right.
That's true. They should give Memory Maker out a lot more.
Yeah.
Maybe they're listening to us and they're going to take all our ideas.
I'm telling you. Roundtable with Mouse Chat.
Maybe we can be the next Imagineers.
Party here, folks. We are changing your Disney experience for the better.
Cool. All right. So, Lauren, can we throw it over to you?
Yes, we can. So, Disney has just rolled out upgraded Wi-Fi service across all 4 parks this week. Last week, I guess. Basically to help support the people using the Wi-Fi at this point for the My Disney Experience app. So hopefully we'll see some improvements with the My Disney Experience app and the free guest Wi-Fi. I know I've had a lot of trouble with it while I was there.
Me too.
But the app does work better when you're on it, when you're on the free guest Wi-Fi.
That's good.
I find that it works okay in the room, but in the parks, it never works.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always have to turn off Wi-Fi and go to 3G in the park because I can't connect to anything. It just spins and spins and spins.
Yeah. Cell service used to be horrible, but it's much better now.
Yeah.
Even when I'm on the 3G, I find, that it didn't work. That's why we tell people all the time, when you head out in the morning before you leave your resort, go ahead and take a picture of all your fast passes and dining, because if you can't bring it up, I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't necessarily remember that at 9:25 I need to be on Peter Pan and at 1:15 I need to be at Winnie the Pooh. It's helpful to have that, because you won't be able to pull it up. And just the other day, a friend of mine was there and he was like, I think all my dining was canceled. And I said, no, you just can't see it because you're in the park. And sure enough, his dining wasn't canceled. He just could not. Because sometimes it'll come up, but even when it comes up, you won't have anything populated. It will look like you have done nothing. So.
Yeah.
You
just can't load. So hopefully the upgrade in Wi-Fi has fixed that.
Yeah, that would be great. I remember when you couldn't get, in the old days. I remember when they first introduced Wi-Fi into the park, or not into the park, but even at the resorts. And that was the first time we stayed at Art of Animation. Remember how it didn't work? And we were like, are you kidding? There's no Wi-Fi here. And it was the same all across property. You'd be like staying at Boardwalk and you'd have to go down to the lobby to check your email.
Yeah,
you know, I would have to bring your laptop.
At Art of Animation, I actually had to hold my phone up against the window.
Remember that. We were in the same room. Yes, I totally remember when that happened. So, yeah. So it's improved a great deal. But I will say I was in Beach Club. I stayed in the villas in February and I couldn't get any Wi-Fi at all. So.
Okay.
That's really sad. It sounded like someone just squeezed a kitty. Like somebody squeezed a kitty cat.
Someone stepped on a mouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry.
Poor Lisa.
Okay, I've got to go and bring it down so I can actually be audible. Okay, we're going to roll over to the main topic now.
What about Sharpie?
Oh,
can
Sharpie.
You read his news story?
I'm sorry. Sharpie.
Okay. You were stepping on a mouse. It's okay.
Yes. He's okay, though.
Good.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's a big story.
Yeah, big story. Disney Cruise Line has released their 2016 itineraries. Pretty exciting itineraries, I have to say. For the first time ever, Disney Cruise Line will be sailing to the British Isles. So Great Britain, Ireland, Scotland, France, all of those accessible now from Disney Cruise Line. They're going to continue with their growth into Northern Europe with Denmark, Sweden, and Russia. So,
Denmark, or to Russia again? I didn't see that one.
Yeah, that's the Northern Europe, Northern Europe itinerary, and then the Norwegian fjords. You can see all your snow-capped mountains and all the glittering waters of Norway, the fjords of Norway. And of course, they're going back to the Mediterranean. They've done that for quite a few years now. And then there's also a separate Mediterranean and Greek Isles itinerary that they are repeating once again this year for the 2016 season. Headed back to Alaska. And they are doing a Southern Caribbean, returning back to San Juan in early 2016. That will be aboard the Disney Wonder. And there'll be four cruises that sail the Southern Caribbean. So the French island of Martinique, which is actually a new port of call on that Puerto Rican itinerary. And then there's also, of course, the Western Caribbean, Eastern Caribbean, and of course the Bahamas, and all of those are out of Florida with the Western Caribbean, Eastern Caribbean, and the Bahamas. But then they're also introducing they'll have eight sailings this year with the Star Wars Day at Sea. So that's pretty exciting as well. So all of those, pretty exciting itineraries for 2016, including Tortola.
I would love to do
Tortola.
I would too.
Chris, you price some of those out. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was throwing it too.
I priced some of those out for my family because I was like, oh, let me see what we can do. I'm like, yeah, that's not happening. They were very, very expensive. Like, it seemed like just dramatically different from last year.
They do seem to be a lot more.
Well, because I priced out the Norway one we're doing in June, and it was a lot more.
Which is interesting because they had to discount the Norway one.
And they'll discount this year as well.
So
there's
no
doubt about it.
But it won't be discounts for, until 75 days prior, which is extremely difficult for people to do. The people who made out are the travel agents who booked late and got those TA rates.
Yeah. I think you'll see earlier discounts on your European cruises.
You think so?
Yeah, I think you'll see several weeks ahead of where you would have seen them this year. Because whenever you consider your travel from the U.S., Disney can only market so much to the European market and then also to the Asian market when they're sailing the Mediterranean. I think Disney is creating more of a push to get American clients to go to Europe. And I think not only with Adventures by Disney, but also with Disney Cruise Line, I think you're going to start to see more promotions stateside for European cruises.
I think it's kind of interesting. I'm on like a Facebook page for our cruise, and there's about 150 people on there. And I want to say 80% of them are retired. So I wonder if these European cruises appeal more to people who can, you know, obviously they have the time, they can take off, they can, like one lady on there, she's doing four back-to-back cruises.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, can you
to
imagine?
To live the life.
I know, right? She and her husband, you know, they're just, hey, what the heck. But you know, I was very surprised at the number of retirees, because you don't see that high of an amount, I don't think, stateside, you know, going out of Port Canaveral, for example. So
can't imagine.
Which should be awesome. Maybe we can all play bingo.
I don't know if I could handle that.
All the bingo? Oh, it would be great.
No, four back to back. Well, yeah, the bingo, but four back to back.
I don't think I could do four back to back.
I would go absolutely insane.
There's a lot of, we've always met a lot of retired people.
I would love it.
Yeah.
I would be so busy on the ship.
Do you know what I would be doing? If I was I'd be a retired person, first of all, if I'm like a 75-year-old lady, I'm wearing a muumuu and I'm parking my chair next to that ice cream machine. I don't care. I could get fat, you know. What the heck?
Oh my God.
Be living it up for 4 weeks. Come here, Sonny. Bring me a drink.
That's hilarious.
And walk slow.
Turn around and walk away from me.
you drop that to saunter speed.
Oh.
Okay.
Sorry, you just got into my dream a little bit there.
Well, I'm going to take us to the topic.
Thank you.
Today we're going to be talking about ticket add-ons or options for your tickets, specifically hopper option and the water park fun and more option, and pros and cons to them. Who should get it? Who shouldn't? Why you should? Why you shouldn't? So let's start with a hopper. I think that's the more widely known option. And a park hopper is an option that allows you to go to more than one Disney park in the same day. This is, of course, within, it's not like you can go to Anaheim and then run over to Orlando. You've got to keep
it. Has anyone ever tried that? I might argue it. I might say, like, hey, I have a park hopper here.
That would be nice.
I want Chris to try it.
Okay, you've got it.
And you know what? It wouldn't matter because you've got that multi-pass anyway. So
yeah, that's true.
You could always fall back on that. But so typically you have your base ticket, which gets you one park per day. So you don't have to figure out ahead of time what park you're going to do for that day. You would just decide that morning, go into the gates, and once you're in, you're in. You may not go to another park within that day. Even if you had... Perhaps you were there for 5 days and you thought, well, I'll just get a 10-day ticket. And that way I can go to the Magic Kingdom the morning of the first day and then Epcot the second day. It doesn't work like that. So that's why you need your hopper. A hopper is going to add, what, about $65 per person?
Roughly.
Okay.
It ranges between $53 and $68 with tax.
Yeah, they kind of make it different on your 1 and 2 day tickets. And
even three.
And your third day? Okay.
Yeah. It jumps at day four. And it's the same price all the way through after day four.
Okay. So it's not something that you can say, I'm going to get a 6 day ticket, but I want 2 days worth of hopper. It's something you add to the entire ticket that you have. So it's all or none. So... Do you guys, if you had to pay out of pocket and you were getting your, you know, you didn't have your AP and you were buying tickets, and would you get your hopper or not?
Me personally, I could never go without a hopper. But I also think that your seasoned Disney goers could never go without a hopper. I think if you're a first time person going to Disney with little children, you know, like 7 and under, I don't know that the hopper is the best money spent.
Yeah, we're always on the same page with the hopper. Lauren and I always agree. We both personally like to hop. A lot of our more seasoned people want to hop, but kids, people with little kids, why would you add it when you're not sure you can use it, when you can add it when you're there? So yep. Like you're in the park one day and you're like, gosh, it would have been really nice to go to Epcot and watch Illuminations instead of just hanging out at the Magic Kingdom. Go add it then, you know?
Yeah, if you really, because a lot of times people will say, oh, I want to add it, I want to add it. And then when we actually work on their itinerary, they don't need it.
They don't need it. And the key, I think, is... you know, people think travel agents, you know, not everyone trusts us, and people will think that travel agents will like upsell you a lot. And the hopper is one of those areas where people are very questioning. You're not making any money off of adding a hopper, truthfully. And so why not, you know, I guess my point is we have no incentive to add it or not add it, but we try not to get people to add it because we don't want someone to say, I spent $250 for my family for this hopper, more than $250.
Yeah.
And we didn't use it. And my TA didn't look out for me, you know, so.
Yep.
We almost always, like I said, we're totally on the same page with this.
Now, absolutely. Families with teenagers, definitely.
Yeah. Yes. Or, you know what we find too, Chris, is sometimes you'll have like a family with kids like wide age ranges. Like you've got a mom and a dad, and maybe you've got a couple 12, 13-year-olds, and then you've got maybe a younger kid. Well, go ahead and add it just for, you know, one or two parents and the older kids, because maybe mom's going to stay back with a 3-year-old or whoever. You know what I'm saying? Like she's not going to hop with that little one, but maybe dad's going to take the bigger kids out at night.
Right. And in order to do that, you would have to add the hopper on when you're there.
You have to do that at the park. You can't do it at the resort. Because the resort is keyed in to only, because their systems are so weird. The resort is actually keyed in to go ahead and only add, like if you tried to add the entire package. But if you go to the resort, you can go ahead and just.
You mean the park?
Or I'm sorry, park. In the park, you could just go ahead and add it there.
Yeah.
No, yeah. And I think if you're a family, their first trip to Disney World, you know, there's so much to do at Magic Kingdom or Epcot. I mean, you could do a day at those parks and not have to.
And you can even do the base ticket. You can go in and out of Magic Kingdom. If you go into Magic Kingdom in the morning, you can go back to the hotel and swim and then go back to Magic Kingdom for the nighttime stuff. I mean, you can still break it up without spending the extra $70 a person.
Yeah, and people, a lot of people don't realize the time it takes to hop from park to park with the transportation and, and you know, their kids are going to be tired, and they're, you know, if they haven't been or they haven't been in a while.
I think it's
it can easily be over an hour to get from one park to another.
Yeah. And of course, time is money.
I also think it could be very overwhelming for little ones.
Yep.
Yes.
You're going to have, if you try to take a kid out of the park and hop with them and it's hot and everything, that just increases your likelihood of meltdowns, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that time we were going to the Magic Kingdom to Epcot, and it was with Brooke. She was like a baby. And I remember thinking, that kid is just, she's done. You know, we were on the monorail. It was like a bunch of us. And yeah, I mean, they don't really want to hop.
No, because you can be from attraction to attraction in Fantasyland versus.
And at 3, Brooke was probably a seasoned Disney goer.
Yeah, she was pretty good about just going to sleep. She was pretty good about just sleeping anywhere, but I remember looking at her one day and thinking, wow, she's really exhausted. You know, it was hot. We were going over to Food and Wine.
Yeah.
So
I think the hopper's a nice option when you're seasoned and you appreciate the dining that Disney has to offer.
Yes, so it's great for dining purposes.
You have no restrictions. If you feel like going to Epcot every night for dinner to experience, you know, dining around the world, you can, and you can be in different parks during the day.
The thing you have to remember about that, though, is that you do have to counter in the fact that you're going to have all that time wasted being in the Magic Kingdom, going to Epcot for dinner, and then, you know, whatever you're going to do that night. And you're going to miss out on some nighttime shows in some of the other parks, which are great.
Yeah.
So you got to factor that all in.
Yeah. If you can plan everything in one park, it's optimal, but, you know, the hopper is nice if you want to head over to Epcot and it's not that far away, so it's nice.
I personally think the hopper has become more complicated now with the Fast Pass.
It has.
Like, I don't think that you need it as much as you used to, you know, because you really have to focus on, do I want my Fast Passes in the morning at this park or do I want my Fast Passes in the afternoon at this park? What's going to be more beneficial to me?
Right.
I think it's harder.
I think that another factor that comes into this is magic hours, extra magic hours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because some people see that the Magic Kingdom has extra magic morning hours and they avoid that park for the day, which is kind of smart. If you don't have a hopper, that's the park most people are going to go to take advantage of the extra magic hours. And so... excuse me, if you're going to commit to that park to get those extra magic hours, then you're going to be there all day unless you have a hopper. if you have a hopper, take advantage of those early morning hours and then get out of Dodge. Go to another park because that will be the most crowded park for the day.
See, and I actually have a different theory on that.
Okay.
I think that the morning hours are not utilized as much as the evening hours. I think your parks with your evening hours are your parks that are your super busy parks for the day.
I don't know that I agree with that.
I think your parks with the extra morning hours, a lot of people don't utilize them as much because they're in the parks late at night.
Especially in the heat of the summer.
Mm-hmm. I have a different theory.
And I mean, and another thing with Park Hopper, too, not is right now, Hollywood Studios is in such a period of transition. There's not a whole lot to do there right now. Their attractions have been kind of shuttered and things are being kind of shifted around a little bit. But that's the only place where you can see your Disney Junior characters.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a young child and you're, say, for instance, you're going on a three-night trip, I say do the Park Hopper and spend the majority of your time in the Magic Kingdom.
Oh,
but
bad, yeah.
Have the Park Hopper to be able to go over and do the Hollywood and Vine breakfast with Sophia the First, and then do the Disney Junior on stage live. Do that kind of fun stuff in the morning. Hop in the afternoon. Go back to the resort. Spend time at the pool, go in for a late evening at the Magic Kingdom. It's a good day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also like doing it if I'm at one of the Epcot resorts because, you know, if I go to the Magic Kingdom for the day and then I'm at the resort at night and I want to walk over to Epcot and watch Illuminations or have dinner.
Yeah.
Or if I'm staying there and I want to spend part of the day at Hollywood Studios and part of the day at Epcot, they're relatively close. So
yeah.
It's not the huge bus ride and transfer and stuff like that. So it works out if you're over there.
I think that's the same for like the Contemporary, though, or any of the monorail resorts where you can literally be at the Hollywood Studios all day and go back to your resort. You're like, you know what? I think I'm going to go catch the fireworks.
To me, it would be pure torture to go back. Say I spent the day at Animal Kingdom or something, which would never happen. But say I did. And then I had to go back to Beach Club knowing that I'm like a 10-minute walk from the back of Epcot and some ice cream.
But again, though, that's us being seasoned.
Yeah, but I think...
Your average person isn't going to say, hey, let's go over to Epcot. You know what I mean? Like, I think you're going to see a lot of people.
I don't know. Even for a first-timer, the convenience of staying, like Lisa said, at the Contemporary mm-hmm. or at the Epcot resorts makes it extremely tempting.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I agree.
Very nice. Okay, how about Water Park Fun and More? What do you get with the Water Park Fun and More option?
You get wet, Lisa. Gosh.
And more.
Well, tell me.
And more.
All right, Sharpie, tell me what you get.
So, Water Park Fun and More, there are several things that you get along with Water Park Fun and More. And the thing that most people do not know about is access to Disney's Oak Trail Golf Course. It's a walking course. And it's said to be like Disney's family friendly golf course. So you get that, of course, with your Water Park Fun and More. It's a 9-hole course. And as you may or may not know, you have access to golf clubs and all that kind of stuff with a round of golf. Disney also will pay your cab fare to and from with your tee time. So you just call and reserve your tee time, and then they will also cover your cab fare back and forth to the golf course. But you also get access to Disney Quest at Downtown Disney. So a lot of people don't know that Disney Quest exists. It's kind of an indoor virtual theme park. Some of your favorite Disney rides have mimicked virtual attraction there. Disney Quest was a model that was supposed to be a small Disney park experience in some of America's like major cities. There was supposed to be one in Times Square. There was supposed to be one in Chicago, but as you know, yeah.
there was one in Chicago. We went to it.
Yep.
Disney Quest.
Yep. Yeah, it was there.
Really? I did not know that.
It was there, but just like, and there might've been a few more, but we went to the Chicago one, but they all closed.
Well, the thing is, in Chicago, there's a suburb called Schaumburg, which is actually where I was born. And they have Woodfield Mall. And a lot of people know about Woodfield Mall. And Chicago has a very high Disney fan base. And so they have Disney Quest.
They have a DVC
store. And they have a DVC store.
In the mall.
It's gone now, too.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
Well, it was there last time we were there.
Doorway to Dreams is gone.
Yep.
So they have that. They just are able to do these Disney-esque things because they have such a high Disney fan base.
Well, they thought, but well,
interesting.
But they've well, and the Disney the DVC lasted a while, but the Disney Quest didn't last very long.
No, Disney Quest was two years, three.
Yeah, it was quick.
It was here one visit and gone the next.
But anyways, back to Disney Quest and World.
But yeah, so you get access to Disney Quest. You get access to water parks, of course. Downtown Disney, or not Downtown Disney, excuse me. Typhoon Lagoon and Blizzard Beach. But you also get access to the two putt-putt golf courses, Fantasia Gardens and Winter Summerland. Does someone else want to explain how the credits work with Water Park Fun and More?
Oh, as far as... okay, yeah, I will. Unless someone else wants to, because I don't sound so great.
Doesn't matter.
Okay, I'll give it a go. And I think this is what you're getting at, Sharpie. If you buy a 4-day ticket with the Water Park Fun and More feature, you have 4 days admission into the theme parks. And you also have 4 days admission into the water parks. So that's 8 days worth of admissions. And that's,
and they don't have to be used consecutively.
You have 14 days from your first ticket activation to use your credits.
Yes. And here's the great thing. You can use a water park ticket in the morning and go to the Magic Kingdom on your base ticket at night. And they don't count against each other.
They don't overlap.
A lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah. So you essentially get 4 credits. You don't get like essentially four days worth of admission. You get 4 credits of admission to Oak Trail Golf Course, to the water parks, to the putt-putt golf courses, to Disney Quest. So you can go with a 4-day base ticket with a 4-day base ticket with Water Park Fun and More. You can visit all 4 theme parks and all 4 of those other experiences and still be on your same ticket. So essentially by doing Water Park Fun and More, you get 8 days worth of Disney activity for a 4-day ticket. So, yeah.
And you could also do, if you wanted to, you could do, you could skip Disney Quest, correct? Or the golf and do 2 days of Water Park of Typhoon Lagoon and 2 days of Blizzard Beach if you wanted.
Correct.
Or all Water Park. Yeah. Very cool.
So if you're going to be there for say, for instance, 8 days, 7 nights, you can do 2 days at the water park at the start, do your 4 park days, do your 2 days at a water park at the end of your trip, and have all of that admission just on a 4-day ticket.
Yeah. And if you were staying with a friend for a couple days or staying off property for a couple days, and you still have, 14 days from, like Chris said, from the first use, so... You could all head back over to Disney for use, wrap up the water parks during that time frame.
Yeah, and Disney Quest is a great thing to do on like a rainy day.
Yeah, and the water parks are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the water parks.
They're very nicely themed.
They're heated too.
Yeah. And one other just little side note on the water park. If you're going November through like March, I do not recommend, and I'm sure you guys all agree with this, putting the water park option on until you get down there and see what the weather's like.
I think that's something you can
add on. You can add it on later on, and you can add it on while you're there. And a lot of times you just don't know what kind of weather you're going to get. So to spend that kind of money, and adding it onto the park hopper, that's something we should talk about too. It's a little cheaper. If you have the park hopper option, you're not going to pay the full price for the water park fun and more. When you combo those two, it is a little less expensive. You save about probably half.
Yeah.
So it's not, $68. Maybe it's $34 to add it on roughly.
Yeah. This is something that Disney's done in the last couple of years to encourage people to add both.
Right.
And what used to be cool until they got rid of the non-expiration tickets about a month ago. So we would buy like the 10-day Disney park non-expiration ticket, and it would come with 10 water park funds and more, because we would get that, and we would get park hopper. So it was the whole shebang. And then we have a lot of those left over that we've never used.
We have a lot of water park tickets.
We haven't used any of the fun or more. So we could go to Disney for a couple of years and just go to the water park.
Oh.
They're just still, and they never expire. But now they expire after 14 days. So
they had talked about doing a water park hopper option, but we haven't seen that really come to fruition yet, have we? I haven't seen that listed yet.
Yeah, they were going to announce something, and I haven't looked for it, but yeah, there was
talk. I haven't seen it.
There was talk of being able to hop between the two water parks, but it doesn't seem like
that happened.
Something you would want to do or recommend doing. You pretty much, you find your spot, you put your stuff down, and you spend your 4 hours or whatever at the water park, and then you're pretty tuckered out, and you go back to the hotel. I can't imagine going and trying to find another spot in the middle of the day at the other water park and doing it again.
Plus they close early.
Yeah, they're not open super late at night as well.
It's time for the Disney tip of the week.
We need music here. Dun, dun, dun.
We need something exciting, some fanfare trumpets. I mean, it's the tip of the week. It's our new segment.
Wait. Bar, 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 bar.
Now you sound perfect. Like Blue from Blue's Clues.
Yeah, it sounds like Blue's Clues. You can tell we all have little kids.
Lauren doesn't. What's our excuse?
My kids used to love that show, though. That's probably where I got that from.
I hated that show. Was that like the worst show ever for kids?
No.
Yeah, and
I don't know. Don't you think Steve kind of reminds you of Steve?
Come on.
Not in the
that's
least.
Why she, that's why oh.
Maybe
white.
We could put him in one of those striped shirts.
Yes.
Steve used to... When, you know, Amber and everyone was younger, and Amber would have friends, or he'd go to school and they'd say, Steve, everyone, oh, are you Steve? Where's Blue? And they just, they loved him.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it didn't.
I can see the resemblance.
That doesn't make any sense at all. That's like saying he's like Steve Irwin. Where's your alligator?
For a second, I thought you were going to say Steve Urkel.
That's what I thought.
Urkel, I could believe. I never saw that show.
Oh,
so,
come on.
Anyway.
What?
All right, so we do not have a very good start to our... Dun, 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 dun.
This is our tip of the week.
Tip of the week.
We need some... You know what we need? We need the theme from Shaft to play whenever we do this. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Never mind.
Okay. So, Sharpie?
So each week we're going to provide our listeners with a Disney tip of the week. So this week we have a opportunity to utilize our Disney Dining Plan snack credits that you might have left at the end of your vacation. And you can use your Dining Plan snack credits to pick up treats for your ride or your flight back home.
Or even as gifts.
Even as gifts. You can
Yay!
Pick up some
Yay,
Mickey,
you brought me down a Mickey head.
Rice Krispie bars and exactly.
Yep.
So
you could do that for your husband, Chris, because sometimes you leave him at home.
I leave him at home all the time.
I leave mine at home all the time.
There you go.
You're Kevin. Here's your little Rice Krispie Mickey head.
Here's your snack.
Yeah.
Enjoy. He'd probably eat it too.
Went to Disney, spent $1,700. Here's your Mickey Mouse.
That I used a snack credit for because I was too cheap to pay $4. How are we going to get rid of these?
He could go. He just never wants to go.
That's mine.
Yeah, but it's a good idea.
Anti-Disney.
Yeah. Because you have those snack credits, you might as well use them and load up on some goodies.
We need to fix. We need to fix Rich and we need to fix Kevin. Because
there's no fixing.
No. We're going to need to fix them because Steve and I are a husband-wife Disney fanatic team, and Chris and Jesse are a Disney fanatic team.
Lauren and I are a Disney fanatic.
Exactly.
What's the problem?
Stop I don't like, see what the problem
stop
is.
Like putting your values on me, lady. Your judgment is hurting me.
All right. I was just going to say.
Apparently, Chris and I are a couple.
I know. We totally are. Do we not tell Disney people couple. We're each other's work wives?
That's true, actually. She's got a valid point.
You guys do say that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So,
no, I mean, Kevin will happily go twice a year, but more than that, he's kind of like, ugh, come on.
Well, and twice a year is a lot.
It is.
I'm not good with the once a year. I may get once a year. It's kind of a stretch, though.
Yeah. I think Kevin's a little more flexible than Rich is.
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
I can talk Rich into going to, the Caribbean very easily. Disney, whole different topic.
See, Kevin really doesn't want to go anywhere. So, I mean, this whole trip to Europe thing, I was like, guess what? You're going to Europe. Happy birthday. So, I think he'll enjoy it.
Okay. So, we have another new place to visit, and it's called Listener Corner.
Love
it. It sounds so peaceful. It sounds so magical.
It sounds like Winnie the Pooh.
It does.
It's like Winnie the Pooh. I hope our listeners aren't sitting around wearing nothing but a shirt, eating from a big pot of money. Answer my question.
Well,
actually, even if they are, I don't care. Again, no judgment. You can wear that shirt and no pants. That's fine.
You know what? I refuse to read this listener question. So I'm going to leave it to Chris Wood. You get to read this one because I'm having trouble.
I'm excited to hear this.
I'm just having trouble pronouncing his name.
Okay. So Phil McCracken asks, what are the best resort options for a family of five?
Big thanks go out to our listener, Phil.
I love him. He's like my favorite listener.
Mm-hmm.
He writes in an awful lot.
You can tell we don't have anybody that listens to this show.
Why do I have a feeling this is the first and last listener corner?
So, Chris, what's your advice for Phil?
I would tell Phil that, of course, you can always go deluxe because all the deluxe resorts except for Wilderness Lodge and Animal Kingdom Lodge will sleep five. But if you want to have a little more budget-friendly option, of course, Port Orleans Riverside, Coronado Springs, Riverside and Caribbean Beach. And then, of course, my personal favorite Art of Animation Suites.
Me too.
Yeah.
Or you could do two value rooms and get adjoining rooms. And then the parents can have some time at night to work on their computer and watch TV while the kids sleep in the other room.
Yeah, that is so not a bad option.
One thing.
What is that?
Realize is that you can do with most of the resorts, you can do if you only have two adults and like say four children or three children, you can most hotels there will give you guaranteed connecting rooms.
Yeah.
There are some that you can't do that with, like Little Mermaid room. That does not have.
Are those not connecting?
You cannot get connecting rooms there. There's no connecting doors at all.
Huh. Do you think that's kind of interesting that they didn't make them with connecting rooms?
Yeah. I don't know why. Maybe
because they have suites and they're going to say, if you've got that many,
really good
go
point.
To a
that
suite.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Because like just about every other room you go into is connecting and you're like, oh.
Yeah. And like a lot of sometimes like Pop Century will come in cheaper than the suites.
Yes, it does. It comes in a lot cheaper. Those suites are expensive.
They are. They're to me, they're comparable to Wilderness Lodge. One room at Wilderness Lodge or Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Okay.
They are, but they're nice because they have the two bathrooms.
I love them.
And
a kitchenette.
There's a lot of space.
Do you know what I
and
think
they're
about
awesome.
That resort?
Sorry.
Do you know what I think about that resort? I'm sorry, I totally interrupted you.
No, go ahead. Done. You just want me to say they're awesome again.
Yes. Well, what I think is awesome about that resort is actually the pool. The main pool is really nice. And they have a fun little bar there. One day
you are my work wife.
I totally am. I'm not a drinker because I have a very low tolerance for alcohol. However,
but
Disney drinks.
She notices the bar for me.
I know. And you know what? Kevin and I, one day we were there with the kids and, we were just really tired. And so Kevin and I sat there for like a couple of hours while the kids swam and had our incredibly watered down drinks because, they're very weak. But it was fun. There were all these parents doing the exact same thing while the kids swam. It was nice.
Yeah.
I happen to love that resort. It is one of the few resorts that my husband has stayed in that he said, I could do this again.
I remember he liked it.
Yep. and he doesn't like anything.
It's so funny because I'll get, like, I just booked somebody who was, you know, they have teenage daughters and they're bringing a friend, and, you know, they were like, we need an extra bathroom. And I'm like, yes, you do. And you can do it there for a pretty decent price. So,
So if you listen to the show and you actually have a listener question that you would like us to read on Listener Corner, so we don't have to read a show. Yeah, another question from Phil McCracken.
Well, in our defense, we had to make it up because we've never done it before, so nobody knows about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you don't want to hear a question from Phil McCracken every week.
Oh, my gosh. I have a million of those.
Yeah.
That was the least offensive one.
Yeah, so to send us a question, just go to Facebook and post it on our Mouse Chat Facebook page, and we might pick it.
Yeah. So please, folks, please go to our Facebook page and ask us questions. If your question is chosen and read on the air, we will send you major thanks.
You know what? I tried to get people to write questions in with, I said, hey, you know, if you send us a question, Steve will send you an autographed picture of himself in a bathrobe. And no one put any questions down except for Jesse.
That's not great. Maybe we should send an autographed picture of you in a bathroom, and we get more people doing questions.
With my hair in curlers, that'd be super.
I have some of those photos.
Do you really?
I've got you in curlers, yeah.
I'm sure. I've been in your car in curlers.
Yeah. It's lovely. All right, so I think we've just about killed this show.
Yes.
So I'm going to wrap it up. And I'd like to thank Pixie Vacations for sponsoring the podcast. If you like our shows, you can go to iTunes and download them, or you can go to our webpage, mousechat.net. I know, this is painful. I'm trying to get these all out. If you've got any questions for us, please write to us at comments@mousechat.net. And thank you so much for listening. See you next time.